Hundreds of thousands of people will flock to catch a glimpse of him. President Bush will meet him in the Oval Office. Kelly Clarkson will serenade him. And religious leaders from all over the country will pay tribute to him, as they've already done in video messages like this one.
God bless you, Pope Benedict, from the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Pope Benedict XVI is coming to America, his first trip here as Pope. He'll arrive at Andrews Air Force Base tomorrow night, and President Bush will meet him on the tarmac. He'll be in D.C. for 2 days of events and then head to New York Friday, where he'll speak at the U.N., make an historic visit to a Jewish synagogue, give a mass Saturday at St. Patrick's Cathedral, and another one Sunday at Yankee Stadium. Phew! If that weren't enough, the pontiff will also celebrate his 81st birthday during this U.S. visit. Here to talk about what we can expect from this event-filled week of papal goings-on is Rocco Palmo. He writes a blog called Whispers in the Loggia about all things Catholic. He joins me now on the line from the NPR Mothership in Washington. Hi, Rocco.
What's going on, Rachel? Good morning.
Good
Happy
morning.
Monday.
Happy Monday to you. So, as a blogger who's been following the Catholic Church for a long time, you think about this stuff a lot, you write about it a lot. This is like the Super Bowl for you, right?
Super Bowl, Olympics, presidential election. Well, that actually happens in Rome, the conclave. But it's basically everything rolled into one, and especially because after John Paul II, Benedict XVI hasn't traveled as much. So this is probably the only time we're going to see him here in the States as Pope.
So the Pope is using this trip to introduce himself to America. There's a new survey out by the U.S. bishops that says 8 out of 10 Catholics are pleased with Pope Benedict's leadership. Does that jibe with how you survey the American Catholic population right now, Rocco?
Well, it's funny because, again, of course, before his election, he was Joseph Ratzinger, the Panzer Cardinal, you know, or Cardinal No, the head of the Vatican's doctrine office. So looking at things now, I think it's really interesting to see that, you know, having changed into the white, he's going to mark also the third anniversary of his election this week on Saturday in New York. But he's got the... people want to hear him out, you know, or giving him kind of almost a second chance kind of thing. And so so even if there's not, you know, there are very few in the American church negative voices. There are some protesters and everything, but I think people are just really intrigued to hear what he has to say. You know, they know that about the whole Prada shoes thing, or that he kind of dresses in some of the old traditional stuff more than John Paul did. But they really don't know what he said because again, his speeches are very long, but they're also very fluid. So it's going to be, and he's got some great stuff planned for the week, apparently, in terms of what he's going to say.
But. Well, let's talk a little bit about that. He's starting off with a meeting with President Bush. This is only the second time that a pope has been to Washington. Now, Bush and Pope Benedict XVI share common ground on the issue of abortion, but they have tended to diverge when it comes to Iraq. John Paul II spoke out against the war. Benedict has reflected that same stance against the war. Is he expected to address Iraq on this trip?
I think it'll probably come up in the context of the persecution of the Christian community there. Back in November, Benedict made the first cardinal in the 3,000-year history of what's now Iraq, the Chaldean Patriarch of Baghdad. And usually the Pope doesn't offer his reasons, he doesn't have to, of course, why he makes cardinals, but he said specifically at the ceremony at which the Chaldean patriarch was made a cardinal, he said, this is for the suffering Christian community in Iraq. And he didn't go so far as to use the term useless slaughter that John Paul II used. But still, just the fact that the guy basically became the star of the week after that, the Chaldean patriarch, and St. Peter's erupted when he made that statement, when the Pope made that statement, this huge round of applause. And it went on for, I think it was the longest ovation of the day.
I want to talk about the Catholic sex abuse crisis here in the United States. It was triggered in 2002, and we've seen the church in America suffer for years since, declining membership, hundreds of millions of dollars it's had to pay on settlements, paying for victims and clergy and laity. And Boston, which was really the genesis of the crisis, Boston came out and wanted the Pope to come visit Boston on this trip. He is not doing that. They are protesting that. But how is he going to address this controversial issue?
Well, I think it's going to be a multi-tax strategy because obviously, you know, it's not just one audience of the American church or the American people. On Wednesday night, the first, after the reception at the White House Wednesday morning, the first major internal speech the Pope has is to the American bishops. Now, it's already been called Showdown at the D.C. Corral, just because this is the first time as Pope Benedict has spoken to the entire American hierarchy, about 300 bishops. So I think he's going to be pretty, it seems he's going to be pretty frank with his impressions of what's been helpful in the aftermath of the abuse crisis and what hasn't been helpful. And I think by that you're looking at the legal tactics, this whole kind of focus on PR as opposed to even due process. And because what has happened since 2002, one of the kind of hidden side effects of it is that the relationship between bishops and priests has largely been frayed, simply because priests feel that they've been hung out to dry for PR purposes and for the so the bishops could get the liability off of themselves. So I think he's also going to kind of say, you know, you got to be better to your priests, because without them, you're really going to have a tough time reaching the people.
So the bishops might get scolding.
I think so. If anything, it's kind of funny looking at all the advanced press coverage going into this week. The scolding speech was supposed to be Thursday night's talk to the presidents of the Catholic universities at Catholic University here. But the thing is, they're not bound to the Pope by a vow of obedience. The Pope can't revoke, can't yank out a college university president the way he could, or scold them the way he could with a bishop who's bound to him. And again, the bishops are the ones who handle policy. So, and as Cardinal Ratzinger, he actually oversaw the Vatican's response to sex abuse after 2002. And if you listen to the people who, the victims' advocates who went over, they said he was more sympathetic and more understanding of the situation sometimes than most of the American bishops.
We've seen kind of conflicting reports, Rocco, on whether or not he's going to meet with sex abuse victims. Do you know? Have you heard
anything? It seems, from the indication I get, you know, I was telling people, you know, there were a lot of people who were upset when the public schedule was released that wasn't going to happen. But that kind of shows a lack of understanding of how the Vatican works. If anything, it will take place in private simply to keep it from being a PR spectacle, because you know, we all know if it were on the public schedule, everyone would have wanted to cover it. All the victims would, you know, all the talking points would have been out there well in advance. But what this does, it respects the privacy of the victims to introduce, you know, to kind of say that they were in the meeting afterward, or if they weren't there to or if they were there and don't want their names known, to not have their names known. So I think what we'll see is probably sometime over the week, if it happens, you will see either a statement or even a transcript of the meeting. Benedict often does Q&A sessions with different groups. And I think if there's one group who everyone's looking for that Q&A with this week, who knows about these Q&A sessions, it's the victims here.
And Rocco, what do American Catholics want to see from Benedict, and what impression does he want to make?
Well, again, you know, we're talking about a population of 70 million. I'll take the first part first. Everyone wants to see something different, kind of. It's interesting when you have someone who, to a lot of people, is a blank slate. They're putting a lot of more hopes and expectations on him than he can possibly handle. So so you have that element of, you know, I think, if anything, he's going to say, you know, look, we can, you know, church will never be able to forget. And if anything, has learned much from the last 6 years. But it's time to, you know, remember, one, the goodness in the church, and two, that the work of the church has continued and will continue. What he wants to say, I think he's looking to bring a message of hope. He gave, for the first time ever, the Vatican released a YouTube message last week with the Pope on it.
Really?
Again, the Vatican moves in centuries, as they say. And the thing was, the video was only released 13 hours after it was promised. But what he wants to do, it was a 5-minute long message, nothing glamorous, no flashy. It looked like an actual YouTube message because it was kind of grainy almost. It looked like it came out of the 1930s in terms of the setting of the Pope's office. And he said, I'm coming to bring you, to pray with you and to bring you Christ's word of life. You know, as somebody said, anyone expecting that he's going to do a fact-finding mission here, don't expect that. He's got a message. The speeches are already canned. There's a cardinal who later this week at a birthday lunch for the Pope has to give a toast. That toast had to be approved by the Vatican, even though no cameras will be in the room. So this is really scripted down to the last degree. It's been a year in the planning, effectively.
Well, I know this is going to be an exciting week for you. You're reuniting with a lot of friends, people who cover the church. Everyone's going to be gathered together in D.C. and in New York. Rocco, have a good time this week.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you. So good hearing your voice.
Rocco Palmo edits the blog Whispers in the Loggia.com about all things Catholic.